Hallelujah. All glory belongs to that wonderful name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Why don't we go to number 107 and sing glory to his name. We serve a God without limitations. We serve a God that never changes. In fact, that God we've been reading about back in the book of Exodus is still the same today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to number 290 and sing Yesterday, Today, Forever.
Minister Wilson, thank you.
sweet the glorious message simple faith may claim. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Still he loves to save the sinful, heal the sick and lame. Cheer the mourner, still the tempest, glory to his name. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Who was the friend of sinners, seeks the lost one now. Sinner coming at his footstool, penitently bow. He who said, I'll not condemn thee, go and sin no more. Speaks to thee that word of pardon as in days of yore. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Oft on earth he healed the sufferer by his mighty hand. Still our sicknesses and sorrows go at his command. He who gave his healing virtue to a woman's touch, to the faith that claims his fullness, still will give as much. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. As he walked, he made his witness to abide. So through all life's way he walketh, ever near our side. Soon again we shall behold him, hasten o'er the day. But 'twill still be this same Jesus as he went away. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Hallelujah. Well, it is such a wonderful thing to praise the Lord. Why don't we go to number two and sing Praise Him, Praise Him. Number two.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell him his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
Well, time is moving quickly, so I think what we'll do now is take up the collection, and we're going to sing one more song. Praise the Lord. Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank thee this day for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee, O God, for thy many abundant blessings. We thank thee for thy sustaining power. We thank thee for keeping us. We know, O God, that we are only here by thy mercy and thy grace, and we thank thee so much for all that thou hast done for us. We ask, O God, for thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for the sake of thy kingdom, for the glory of thy name. And I pray, O God, that thou hast blessed the givers here this morning, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing one more song, but before we do that, I think we should pray for Gordon. I know he's in the hospital this weekend. He came down with pneumonia. So we're going to go ahead and pray for him right now for a complete recovery and a quick recovery. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning on behalf of our dear brother Gordon, praying, O God, that thou hast reached down from heaven. Let him feel thy touch. Let him feel thy healing virtues flow, we pray. Let him feel thy presence. Let him feel thy spirit. We ask, O God, for a touch from heaven. We ask, O God, that thou hast healed him completely, that there would be no residual effects from this, but that thou hast given him the strength he needs to do the things he needs to do. Heal him completely, we pray, for we know that thou art our healer, our deliverer, our wonder-working God, and that nothing is too hard for thee. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more song before we get started in the word. Number 8 in the hymnal, There Shall Be Showers of Blessing.
There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drop from the sky. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops from the stars falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing. Come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops from the stars falling. But for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing. Now as on Jesus we call.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, it's time to get started in the Word. And we have been in the book of Exodus for the last 5 weeks. This will be the 6th week now. We're going to be starting in Exodus chapter 13 this morning. Of course, we know this is quite a story, a great demonstration of God's power. How he saved Moses. And then used Moses, called Moses from that burning bush, told him, I'm going to use you to deliver my people Israel from the bondage in the land of Egypt, where they had been in bondage for over 400 years. So God sent Moses to Pharaoh and told him, let my people go. And of course, Pharaoh's response, I know not the Lord. Who's the Lord? I will not let you go. And of course, God then sent 10 plagues, and I tell you what, after those 10 plagues, Pharaoh finally relented, and he let the children of Israel go. And that's where we're at in this story. They had just left the land of Egypt, that land of bondage, and they left with a high hand. In fact, the scriptures tell us they spoiled the Egyptians. The Egyptians were so desperate to get rid of the Israelites that they gave them anything and everything they wanted. So they walked out of there victorious. But there would be more challenges, of course, and we're going to read about some of those today. But before we read even a single verse, and we will be starting in the 13th chapter of Exodus in just a moment, but before we read a verse, I'm going to pray, so we're going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, seeking thy guidance and thy direction as we look upon thy scriptures, as we look upon thy holy word, praying, O God, that thou wouldst open our eyes so that we may see thy word in a new light, that thou wouldst continue to perfect us and change us as we study thy word, that thou wouldst move upon us with thy Holy Ghost. Inspire us, O God, to draw nigh to thee, for we know that when we draw nigh to thee, you draw nigh to us. And I pray, O God, that thou wouldst move upon us greatly as we look upon thy scriptures. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we are in Exodus chapter 13. And in this chapter, the Lord is going to give some instructions to Moses regarding the consecration of the firstborn. Of course, we know the last plague that hit the Egyptians was the death of the firstborn. And we know that that was called the Passover because they were told, if you strike the doorpost and the lintel with blood from the lamb, then the plague of this death upon the firstborn would not befall you. And so the children of Israel, they were saved from that plague. And the Egyptians could have been saved from that plague too if they would have hearkened to the Lord, but they didn't do that. But we know that in that plague, all of the firstborn of the Egyptians died. And that included the animals. And God is telling them in this chapter, well, I saved your firstborn, and your firstborn will belong to me. In the 13th chapter, verse 1, it tells us, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. And you know what? The Lord brought us out of bondage too.
Amen.
Jesus Christ went to that cross so that we could be set free from that spiritual bondage, that spiritual Egypt. And you know, we should always remember what he did for us too. Remember how the Lord set us free.
Amen.
Verse 4, This day came he out in the month Abib. And that was to be the first month of the year, the month of Abib on the Jewish calendar. Of course, after the Babylonian captivity, they changed the name of that month to Nisan. But we do have our Passover service at that same time every year to remember what Jesus did for us, and we will be doing that again this year. It will be on April 21st, and we hope to see all of you here, or if you can't be here, we hope you can join us online at least. But verse 5 tells us, And it shall be, when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. You see, God always keeps his promises. He promised them that land, and he was going to keep it. Because it is impossible for God to lie. He always tells the truth. Verse 6, 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. And of course we understand that that bread had to be unleavened, because leaven represents sin. And actually what this is pointing forward to, it's pointing forward to Jesus Christ, that spotless lamb without blemish, who would die for us. He had no sin of his own, but he took our sins upon himself. So thus they were instructed to use unleavened bread, because leaven represents sin. Verse 7, Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And this is a wonderful story that the dead passed down to their children. In fact, we still have it today. We're reading about it today, thousands of years later. That's wonderful. You know, I firmly believe that everything we've read about in the book of Exodus actually happened. I believe the Exodus actually occurred. And, you know, it's really something, because I was doing a little reading last night, and scholars say that there's no evidence that this ever happened. They say because they can't find any evidence thousands of years ago that the Israelites were in the desert, that it must not have happened. Well, maybe they just aren't looking hard enough for that evidence. But what really kind of shocked me is I found this article, and in it there were Jewish rabbis who said that the Exodus probably never happened. Now, if anybody should know better, it's them. But they claim, some of them now, and it's becoming more common, they claim it never happened. And what really kind of floored me is I had read a while back that 50% of the Israeli population is atheist. But apparently that number has gone up, because I saw an article the other day that actually said that 65% of the Israeli population is atheist. And you know what? A lot of them still perform their religion. They have their religious rituals and so forth, but they don't believe any of it. They're just going through the motions. It's a cultural thing for them. But I believe that this really happened, and the stories were passed down, and they were written down for us and for all who would come to the Lord and for all who would believe on Him. I believe the Word of God. I believe the whole thing. I don't go through this book trying to pick and choose which parts I'm going to believe. You know, a lot of people do that, and that's why you have so many religions today, because you'll get a guy who will go through the Bible and he'll find a part he doesn't like, and then he'll come up with some sort of theory or doctrine to try to explain it away, and boom, we have a new religion. And there's a lot of them, but we need to just stay in the Word of God and believe the Word of God, believe what it says. It's all true.
Amen.
So God is instructing them, I want you to pass these stories down to your children. Verse 8, and thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And you know, there's a lesson to learn from this too. We should always give God our best. Not just whatever we have left over, but we should give him our very best. And I'm not just talking about physical things in this world, but I'm talking about things from our soul. Our very best. Our very best praises, our very best worship. Our very best. You know, in the story of Cain and Abel, why was it that God did not accept Cain's offering to the Lord? Because it wasn't his best. It's just whatever he happened to have laying around. But Abel, he gave the Lord his very best, and the Lord honored that. And when you give the Lord your best, he will honor that. Verse 14 tells us, and it shall be, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes. For by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. And yes, by strength of hand. Everybody knew about that God of the Israelites. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. So God, in his infinite wisdom, decided they would not go through the land of the Philistines just yet. They would have, you know, problems and issues with the Philistines for a long time. In fact, we know that David fought the Philistines, Goliath in particular. And they were a troublesome thorn for the Israelites. But God decided that I'm going to send them another way so that they don't have to go to war right away after coming out of Egypt. Verse 18, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And of course, there's another reason God sent them that way too. Sent them to the Red Sea because he was going to demonstrate his power to them once again. A faith-building exercise. Because God knew, nothing that ever happens is a surprise to God. God knows everything that's going to happen. He knew that Pharaoh was going to send his armies chase after Israel, and that they would be up against that sea with nowhere to go, or so it would seem. Verse 19, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And that shows the faith of Joseph. He said, you're going to carry my bones out of here. And here they're doing it.
Yes.
And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. Now, isn't that merciful and gracious of the Lord? He made sure they knew exactly where to go. He led them. Pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. Praise the Lord. And he will lead us too, if we will but follow him. Praise the Lord. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And now we're going to continue on in the 14th chapter, and we're going to read a miraculous story, and I believe that this actually happened.
Amen.
You know, scientists might look at this and say, well, this is impossible. There's no way that could have happened, but nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Chapter 14, verse 1 tells us, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. They were going to look very vulnerable, weren't they? And of course, we know that this was a big crowd. We read last week that there were 600,000 men, plus women and children, plus a mixed multitude that also went along. So this was a rather large group. Some estimates I've read estimate that it was about 2 million people, if you can imagine. So, in verse 4 it tells us, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. You know, when God sent those plagues upon the Egyptians, each one correlated and related to a specific God that the Egyptians had. He was demonstrating his power over those so-called false gods. And the Egyptians had a lot of gods and goddesses, none of which were real, but they had a lot of them. Over 2,000 of them, I believe. And that would be exhausting. Could you imagine trying to worship 2,000 gods and goddesses? No, there's only one. Thank God for that. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But God demonstrated his power, and he was going to do it again. You know, and it wasn't just for the Egyptians, it wasn't just for the Israelites, but for all over the world, people were going to hear about what happened. And they did. Songs were written about it. In fact, we're going to look at that a little bit later. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, "Why have we done this thing that we have let Israel go from serving us?" Well, they must have had short memories, because they had just endured 10 horrible plagues. And that's why they let them go. And verse 6 tells us, "And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand." And that's true. The children of Israel, they went out victorious. "But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon." So here we have all of this Egyptian army, and they're chasing after the Israelites. And of course the Israelites, they were against the Red Sea, so where were they supposed to go? This seemed like an impossible situation. But God can make a way where there is no way. He's still the same God. The same God that was back there. So when you feel your back up against the wall and you don't know what to do, I'll tell you what to do. Pray.
Amen.
Seek the Lord. Believe the Lord. Have faith in God.
Yes.
He'll make a way where there is no way. And even though the children of Israel were backed up against the sea, they would be delivered once again. And it would be a miraculous thing. "But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord." Well, at least they cried out unto the Lord. That's the right thing to do. "And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt?" You know, after everything they had just been through, those 10 plagues from which they were delivered and untouched by, especially that last one, they should have had greater faith. They should have believed that the Lord was going to protect them. He didn't bring them out there just to let them die in the wilderness. He brought them out there to deliver them and lead them to the promised land.
Amen.
God always keeps his promises.
Yeah.
Verse 12, "Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." So you see, some of these Israelites, they had a bad attitude. And I have to wonder how much of that was because of the mixed multitude that went with them, whispering in their ears, you know, "Oh, we're all going to die out here now." But that wasn't going to happen. God, in his mercy and grace, even though obviously some of these Israelites did not have strong faith, God was going to deliver them anyway. He is a merciful God. Verse 13, "And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." So Moses, as instructed by God, tells them, "Don't be afraid. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord."
Amen.
You know, sometimes that's all you can do, is just stand still and wait to see what the Lord will do. And he does do wonderful, amazing things. Things that can't be explained. But praise the Lord, our God is a wonder-working God. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Go forward?
Yes, go forward.
They must have wondered, how can we go forward? There's a big sea in the way. But God had the solution for that. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. That man who believed he was a god, who believed he was divine, Pharaoh, who said, I know not the Lord. Well, he knew the Lord now, and the Lord is saying here, I'm going to get honor upon Pharaoh.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. He's going to know I am the Lord.
Amen.
And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten my honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. So we see here God's protecting hand. While they crossed that sea, he made sure there was an obstacle for the Egyptians, and they couldn't get to him. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all the night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. If you can just imagine this, what a sight this must have been. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. So they were able to cross over on dry ground. God parted the waters for them. And what's really amazing, this is kind of a paradox, because you have the children of Israel who didn't believe they could cross over, and they did. And then you have the Egyptians who try to pursue them, believing they could cross over, and they couldn't. Verse 23 tells us, And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians, to the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Oh, they were starting to realize that something miraculous was happening here. These Israelites weren't on their own, but their God, the Lord, was fighting for them. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, and that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon the chariots and upon the horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And you know, something occurred to me while I was reading this. Actually, when the Israelites crossed over the sea, the Apostle Paul said that that was a form of baptism. I think that's actually in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We won't go there right now, but he called this a form of baptism. And you know, when we go down in the water in the name of the Lord Jesus, all of our sins are drowned in that water. Just as in this case, it was the Egyptians who pursued after them, but those sins that troubled us and followed after us, all those years are gone, they're defeated, they're washed away.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, and we arise from that water victorious.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But it tells us the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Not so much as one of them remained, just as when we go down that water, not so much as one of our sins remained.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. And as you can imagine, after experiencing something like that, the Israelites were very excited. So excited, in fact, that they broke out into song. They call chapter 15 here the Song of Moses. And we're going to read about this right now. We don't know what the melody was, but I guarantee you it was a very joyful song.
Amen.
And perhaps they'll sing it for us one day.
Amen.
But it tells us, in the first verse of chapter 15, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation." Oh, yes, the Lord is our salvation. In fact, what does the name Jesus mean? Salvation. When God put on flesh and wore it, clothed in that flesh, inside God, very God, and outside flesh, he became our salvation. Emmanuel, God with us. "He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains awful are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy." And he did the same thing for us. When Jesus went to that cross and won the victory for us, he dashed in pieces the enemy. He destroyed Satan's kingdom. There were things happening on that cross. Praise the Lord. There were things happening on that cross that people on earth didn't even realize. But there was great victory over the devil. Praise God. Verse 6, "Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Oh, God, demonstrate his power over all those so-called false gods. There is no other God but the Lord, and there is no one like him.
Amen.
Who is like unto thee, O Lord? Well, no one. There is no one like our God.
Amen.
Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. And didn't Jesus do the same thing for us? He led us forth. He redeemed us. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Oh yes, people from all over were going to hear about what God had done. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till thy people pass over, which thou hast purchased.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And you know, the Lord purchased us also.
Amen.
Jesus, when he went to that cross, purchased us with his own blood. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Oh yes, he shall reign forever and ever. That still holds true today. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with the horsemen into the sea. And the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Praise the Lord. What a song.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, that happens sometimes, though, when you realize the victory that God has won for you. Sometimes you just break out into song.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, you know, God had done many miracles for the Israelites, and that was quite a miracle that they had just experienced. And you would think that at that point the Israelites, they should have realized, hey, our God, he's not a God of limitations. He's not a God who's stuck. He's not a God who never knows what to do. He always knows exactly what to do. He's never sitting up there thinking, oh, what do I do now? You know, what am I supposed to do? That doesn't happen to our God. And the Israelites should have realized that, but there were some doubters among the Israelites. And it tells us in verse 22, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water." And, of course, if you're in the wilderness, you do need water. Water is very important. 3 days is a long time to go without water. Verse 23, "And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah." So, finally, they find some water, but it wasn't drinkable. But instead of praying to the Lord and asking him to make a way for them, some of these people, they started murmuring. And that's a horrible thing. They should have known better. After everything God had just done for them, they should have had great faith. And yet, some of them, they were murmuring. Verse 24 tells us, "And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them." So again, God, in his mercy, made a way for them. He told Moses, cast that tree into the water, and it obviously purified that water somehow, a miracle from God, and they were able to drink it. And it must have been a lot of water, too, to provide for that great multitude. Verse 26, "And said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And you know what? He still heals today.
Amen.
"And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters." So we see God's miraculous hand. He brought them out of Egypt. He delivered them. He allowed them to cross over that Red Sea. And they just broke out into song, so filled with the joy of the Lord. And you know, there were more songs written about that. In fact, the book of Psalms, actually every psalm at one point was a song. We're going to go there now to Psalm 135. Psalm 135, and we're going to do 136 also. We'll see how both of these psalms apply to what we just read. Psalm 135 verse 1 tells us, "Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord, praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord." I like that already. "Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself, and Israel for His peculiar treasure." His peculiar treasure. Isn't that interesting wordage there? And doesn't God, in His Word, tell us that we are a peculiar people? A chosen generation and holy nation, a peculiar people? Yeah. Praise the Lord. "For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods." Oh yes, you know, every culture, it seems like they have their gods that they worship. Most of them have more than one. Of course, they're not really gods at all. It's really, there's the one true God, and then you have the devil who likes to impersonate other gods and make it seem as though there's other gods. But God is victorious over all of those false gods, and He's victorious over the devil. Verse 6, "Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the wind out of His treasuries. Who smote the firstborn in Egypt, both of man and beast, who sent tokens and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants, who smote great nations and slew mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land for a heritage unto Israel, his people." And He still has a heritage for His people today. It's not land on this earth, but it is that new Jerusalem, which is above, which is free, which is the mother of us all. That new heaven, that new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. That is our heritage. That is our inheritance. Everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. "Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and Thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge His people, and He will repent Himself concerning His servants. The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the works of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them." And when you stop and think about it, it is really foolish. They crafted little idols, make them with their own hands, and they say, "Well, these are our gods." I can't think of anything more foolish to do. But it tells us in this psalm, "They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord out of Zion, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord." Praise God. Oh yes, all of those cultures and those religions, they have their fake gods, but the God we serve is real.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Psalm 136. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever." And what does the scriptures tell us? Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. You see, everything that was made, it didn't just get here. It wasn't some accident as a result of some so-called Big Bang. No, everything was made, spoken into existence by the very voice of God.
Amen.
He is our Creator.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. And you know, he did the same for us. He brought us out of bondage with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever, and Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever, and gave their land for a heritage, for his mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You know, his mercy is not just a temporary thing. His goodness, it's forever. It endureth forever. Verse 22, even a heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth forever, who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
And Jesus, he did that for us at our lowest. He called us, he brought us out from the depths of despair, and he redeemed us. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We serve a mighty God. Nothing is too hard for him. We serve the same God who back there delivered the Egyptians, or the Israelites from the Egyptians, from that bondage. And he delivered us also from bondage. He set us free, praise the Lord. For his mercy endureth forever. With that thought in mind, we're going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee, O God, for thy scriptures. We thank thee for thy mercy, which we know endureth forever. We thank thee for thy loving kindness toward us, for all that thou hast done for us, for thy many blessings, for setting us free from bondage, from sin, from that spiritual Egypt. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast delivered us and redeemed us with an outstretched arm and a mighty hand. And we ask, O God, that thou wouldst continue to be with us. Help us to be mindful of thee always, to never forget what thou hast done for us. And we pray, O God, that thou wouldst fill us all with thy Spirit. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Help us to remember thee as we go forward this day, each and every day, to think on thee day and night, and to pray without ceasing. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to sing a chorus. Praise God. And it's one we've been singing quite a bit lately because it's just so appropriate. I need to find the number. But it's How Great Is Our God. And I believe that's number 34 in the chorus book. How Great Is Our God. How great is our God, how great is his name, he's the greatest. Dismissed under prayer in Jesus' name.